Hello, sex fans, and welcome back, and happy Halloween! Today is Monday, October 31st, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating and maybe frightening sexologist, Dr. Dick. It's time, once again, to delve into my email inbox to see what's up with the sexually worrisome. I know I've billed this as a scary Halloween show, but to tell you the truth, it's always a bit scary opening my email. I never know what frightful question or dreadful situation will pop out at me. So, okay, maybe it's not all that scary all of the time, but regardless of what my correspondents toss my way, you can count on me, your intrepid sex therapist, to respond with clever, resourceful, and oh-so-informative responses. Hey, it's what I do. But before we get to that, we have a word from our sponsor. This week's show is brought to you by DrDickSexAdvice.com and DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Our sponsor today is me. You'll have to excuse this shameless self-promotion, but I wanted to call your attention to a standing invitation for everyone in my audience to underwrite these marvelous shows. I'm exceptionally proud of the quality programming I've been bringing you, my international audience. Over the last 4.5 years, I've presented a variety of extraordinarily informative, enriching, and entertaining shows. Interesting interviews, enlightening Q&A, and even some fun product reviews. I mean, where else can you find this sort of diverse, sex-positive programming? And all of this always comes to you absolutely free. Okay, so right about now, you're probably asking yourself, hey, Dr. Dick, how can I help support and underwrite this effort? Well, I'll tell you. Just mosey on over to my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com, or the other, DrDickSexToyReviews.com, and look for the donate button. It's a blue, heart-shaped icon. Click on it and make your contribution. Any amount will do, but those folks donating $50 or more will receive a swell thank you gift. Excellent personal lubes, smutty porn DVDs, wonderful sex toys, or some delicious erotica. Be the first one on your block to join me in bringing the world this fun, informative, and enlightening programming. And now, I'm processing donations with PayPal, so it's even easier than before to make your contribution. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. Remember, this is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human is going to answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And once you record your message, you pretty much can be sure that you will be part of one of my future podcasts. Okay, let's mosey on over to the email inbox and see what we have. First, we have two back-to-back questions from Alexa. She's a female, she's 37, and she lives in Los Angeles. She writes, yes, I'd like to know if my boyfriend and me have sex without a condom while I have a genital warts outbreak. Can my boyfriend get the genital warts himself, and can it spread on his body or not? Yes, Alexia, sex without a condom will indeed spread your wart infection to your boyfriend. Listen up, everyone. Whenever there's a change in the look, feel, or sensations in your genital area, there is cause to have a medical professional look at the disturbance immediately. If you are like Alexia here, you can have an infection that could be transmitted to your sexual partners. It is one thing to foolishly disregard your own health and well-being. It's another thing altogether to risk the health and well-being of an unsuspecting sex partner. For those in my audience unfamiliar with genital warts, let me tell you a little bit about them. They're relatively easy to detect, small bumps that are typically irregular shaped, like cauliflowers. They are caused by the human papillomavirus. And genital warts are pretty benign, although they are highly infectious, and they are mighty unsightly. Some people experience irritation and itching around the affected area. Women can get warts on their vulva and perineum, but they can also appear in their throat, in their vagina, on their cervix, and in and around their asshole. Men get warts most often on their dickhead and foreskin, but they also can appear on the shaft of their cock and in their urethra, scrotum, and in their throat, and on or around their asshole. A carrier of the virus doesn't even have to have a visible outbreak for the infection to be transmitted. Maybe that's how you got your infection yourself, Alexia. Genital warts can be a bitch to get rid of because, like all warts, these little devils have a tendency to reappear. Treatments may include liquid nitrogen to freeze small warts, burning off the growths with acid, destruction of growths with laser surgery, or surgically removing them from the affected area. Listen, do us all a favor, Alexia, and consult your doctor as soon as possible. Here's Alexia again with her second question. If I get my tubes tied after I have my kids, is it still possible for me to get pregnant? Short answer, Alexia, yes. But let's take a closer look at this, shall we? A tubal ligation, also known as having your tubes tied or tubal sterilization, is a type of permanent birth control. During a tubal ligation, the fallopian tubes are cut or blocked to permanently prevent pregnancy. A tubal ligation disrupts the movement of the eggs to the uterus for fertilization and blocks sperm from traveling up the fallopian tubes to the eggs. The tubal ligation will not affect your menstrual cycle. A tubal ligation can be done at any time, including after childbirth, or in combination with another abdominal surgery, such as a C-section. It's possible to reverse a tubal ligation, but reversal requires a major surgery and isn't always effective. You should also know that a tubal ligation won't protect you from sexually transmitted infections. I mentioned this in light of your earlier question about genital warts. In the first year after a tubal ligation, an estimated 1 out of 100 women will get pregnant. The younger you are at the time of the tubal ligation, the more likely the sterilization will fail. If you do conceive after having a tubal ligation, there is a likelihood that your pregnancy will be ectopic. That's when the fertilized egg implants outside of the uterus, usually in the fallopian tube. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what's that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we have a double header question from a fellow named Stevie O. He's 62 and he writes from Gainesville, Florida. After having anal sex for a while, why does the skin around the anus turn light to dark brown? Sometimes it goes away and sometimes it seems to be permanent. Some people have had anal sex for years without any change in the skin color, and then suddenly the skin starts to change color. Any thoughts? My thoughts are these. The change in pigment around one's asshole has virtually nothing to do with butt fucking. Changes in pigment, like the ones you describe, are more likely due to heredity than any other reason. Of course, sudden pigment changes can be indicative of a serious medical condition, but I don't think that's what you're talking about. I also know that porn stars and exotic dancers created an anal bleaching craze some years back, which has apparently caught on among regular folk. This is not something I recommend, but then again, when it comes to cosmetic concerns, what price beauty, huh? And here's Stevio's second question. About 15 years ago, I was going through some counseling. The question of sex came up, and I was asked, what value did I place on sex? My instant answer was, life without sex isn't worth living. That surprised me. The counselor said we would have time to talk about it later, but we never did get around to it. Now, due to a change in my health, a decline in sex with my partner, their choice, not mine, an increase in medications, my previous answer to the question keeps haunting me. Many days I totally agree with the statement, others not so sure. I'm not suicidal, but I am no longer interested in living without meaningful, committed sexual relationships. I've talked to counselors, and they said they feel this will pass. Things will get better. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. It's like these people are afraid to talk about sex or explore my feelings to get to the root of the problem. People have commented that I have changed. Nothing that they can be specific about, just changed. I have reached this point in my life which I can't seem to go on. I miss it. So, what's a person to do? It's a bummer getting old, huh, Stevie? All the things you mentioned, diminished health, the decline of our partner's libido, and the increase in medications we have to take, all impact on our sexual outlet and our interest in sex. Sometimes we're okay with this natural progression, and other times we're not. I've seen several people in my private practice lately who are experiencing a lot of the same things you are, Stevie. I've been working with my clients to help them overcome their sense of hopelessness as the aging process impacts on their sex life. While things may never be like they once were, there are so many things that we can do to regain a sense of our sexual selves. Self-pleasuring, erotic massage, sex toys, erotica, and porn, to mention a few things, can all help us revitalize a flagging sex life. But the most important thing is a change in our mindset. If we discount all the pleasure that can be ours just because it's not like the old days, then we defeat ourselves and we will surely wind up being depressed. I'm surprised that your counselors have been so dismissive with you about your concerns. But the truth of the matter is that things will not pass. Things will not get better, and they will not take care of themselves. At least, not the way they're suggesting. Your counselors probably told you all of these things because they don't know shit from Shinola about human sexuality and human sexual response. If you want to get to the bottom of this, Stevie, you need to talk to the right kind of professional. Your generic counselor is not the person you should be talking to. You should be talking to a sex therapist. To that end, I offer you my services. If you can't find what you're looking for closer to home, maybe you'll consider working with me. I know that you are in Florida and I'm in Seattle, but distances like that no longer are an issue. I suggest you consider setting up a counseling appointment. Check out the Therapy Available tab in the header of my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com, for all the information you need to make an enlightened decision about working with me. Good luck. Next, we hear from Aaron. We don't know his age or where he writes from. He says, I've been with my girlfriend for just over a year. For the first 7 or 8 months, the sex was amazing. Probably the best in my life, and she says the best as well. About 6 months ago, she switched her medication that she has been taking for anxiety. And while the medications did help with her anxiety, it severely diminished her sex drive, made her breast way too sensitive, and basically just removed sex from her immediate train of thought. She barely even wants anything to do with sex, or physical contact, or other than cuddling or light kissing. I assume this is related to the medication, since the timing seems to match up. I've been really patient with her, not pressing her too much, and trying to let things return to normal naturally. But the other night she sat me down for a talk to tell me that now she also is concerned about the lack of spark, and that she wanted to come back as well. She said that this issue extended past just sex, but also general passion in our relationship. In a panic move, she even suggested a possibility of a brief break to figure things out before retracting that idea. Other than this issue, our relationship has been amazing. We spend much of our time together, love each other's company, and generally care for each other. She said that she loves me very much and considers me her best friend, but that she also wants to somehow get that physical spark back to go with the mental and emotional connection that we have. Do you think that this is related solely to her change in medication? And if so, what can we do about it? Clearly, she needs to continue on an anti-anxiety medication. Or is this indicative of a larger relationship issue? And if it's that, how do you suggest we go about trying to address these concerns? Thanks so much for your time. I look forward to hearing from you. I have a very simple answer for you. I'd be willing to bet my last buck that the issue that you and your girlfriend face is solely to do with her change in medication. I have such confidence in saying so because I have seen a lot of this very thing in my private practice. If over-the-counter medications like antihistamines and other cold and allergy medications can impact on a person's sexual response cycle, then serious, heavy-duty meds like anti-anxiety medications will surely fuck with a person's sexual response cycle. And it's clear to me that the arousal phase of our sexual response cycle, as well as our libido, are most immediately at risk. Might I suggest that your girlfriend have a long talk with her physician about this upset in her sexual response and libido? Most doctors don't consider libido and arousal when prescribing medications of any kind. Frankly, most doctors don't think about sexual response at all when they prescribe medications. It's a woeful state of affairs, but that's the way it is. If your girlfriend tells her physician that she is not willing to sacrifice her sex life for emotional stability, there is more likely to be a happier solution to the problem. It might be as simple as a solution as switching out the medication she's currently on for one that is less toxic to her libido. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline that you keep mentioning? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Now I'd like to share with you a rather lengthy exchange I had with a woman who identifies herself as No Tan Lines. I don't know anything more about her. I don't know her age or where she lives. She writes, Dr. Dick, I went to my husband about a month ago about fantasies I was having about being with another woman. Of course, he was all up for it, and we decided to join a swinger site. We met our first couple and had some girl-on-girl play. Then we had sex with our own partners, but in the same room. We planned on meeting that same couple again. However, my husband has come to me with fantasies of his own. They are like a soft swap. He wants to go down on a girl while her husband is going down on me. He wants me on top of him, fucking him, while she sits on his face. Things like that. The problem is, I am not comfortable with him even touching another woman, let alone watching him touch or have oral sex with another woman. What should I do? Do we just stop in the lifestyle now? Well, yeah. I'd call the whole thing off, if I were you. No need to tempt your husband with something you won't let him have, right? Of course, if you do slam the door shut, you will have to explain to your husband why you have this double standard when it comes to sex. You'll have to explain why you were able to realize your fantasies, but you prohibit him from realizing his. What should you do? You should tell him the truth. That's what you should do. Tell him that you are way too territorial about him and his sexual expression to ever let him enjoy what most other swingers take for granted. By the way, do you really consider yourself a swinger? Sounds to me like you are dilettantes. You're certainly not lifestylers, that's for sure. You do dabble at the edges where you are comfortable, but when your comfort zone is challenged, you retreat. This would be fine if it were only you, but you're part of a couple, and you open the door to this sexual experimentation as a couple, right? Now, if I were your husband, I wouldn't take too kindly to this. Now, she writes back and she says, "Thank you. The part that you don't understand is that my husband agreed to just the girl-on-girl fun and same-room sex with this other couple. I told my husband that this is all that I'm comfortable with at this stage, and that this could change as we go on, but I'm not sure it ever will. I've been very honest with my husband, telling him right from the start what I can and cannot handle, and he was okay with that. And when he talked to me about his fantasies, I told him right away I was not comfortable with that at this stage, and that I wasn't sure if I would ever change. And part of his fantasies was seeing me with another woman. Okay, I didn't realize that, thank you for the clarification, but still, you've opened the door to talking about sexual fantasies, so you shouldn't be freaked out when the sexual fantasies come tumbling out. Just remember, talking about one's sexual fantasies is not the same thing as acting on them. Seems to me that you guys still have a whole lot of discussion ahead of you if you plan on continuing with this swinging thing. But as I suggested earlier, if there's no room for this to expand, maybe the best thing to do is to call the whole thing off. Listen, can I ask? Do you know why you have such strong reservations about letting your husband entertain his fantasies? I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen? She writes back. The worst thing that could happen? What if he finds another woman better than me? What if she is sexier than me? What if he develops feelings for her? My husband and I are best friends. He is my whole world. I am the type of girl who never thinks I'm good enough. And if she tastes better, feels better, etc., then what? Whoa, doll. We sure hit a nerve there, didn't we? Have you ever thought of doing some therapy or counseling around these issues? Seems to me that your insecurities are getting in the way of you and your husband expanding and fully enjoying your sex life. Is sinking to the lowest common denominator really the way to go? I'd be willing to guess that your insecurities are getting in the way of a whole lot more than just swinging. Am I right? And just between you and me, There are surely loads of women out there who are better than you in one respect or another, but that doesn't diminish you at all. In the same way, you are surely lots better than lots of women in one thing or another, but that doesn't diminish the other women, does it? Why have you set this up as a competition rather than a collaboration? She writes back, I understand what you are saying. I really do. I've not said no to my husband. I simply told him I need time to see where things are going. Yes, there are lots of women out there who are better than I. What if my husband finds someone who can offer him more than I can? Okay, are you suggesting that your husband hasn't already encountered someone better than you at one thing or another? I'll bet he has, but he still chooses you, right? You didn't respond to my question about seeking counseling, so that must mean that you resist the idea. She writes back, I am not against counseling at all. I just don't know how I would feel watching my husband with another woman. If he were touching another guy, there'd be no problem, 'cause I wouldn't feel threatened. It's the same for him when he sees me with another woman. Yes, my husband has been with somebody much better than me, his first wife, who passed away 10 years ago. Ah, too bad about that, because I think you'd prosper from ridding yourself of these insecurities. But to each his own, right? Funny that you should mention you wouldn't be threatened by your husband touching another man, because I sense that you're not being totally honest with me about that. Are you saying that if your husband went down on another dude, you'd be okay with that? She writes back, I've been thinking a lot about what you said about my husband's fantasies and how I am imposing a double standard. Should I let him fulfill his fantasies even if I am not comfortable with it? I love my husband more than anything, and of course I want to make him happy. Should I do this for him even though I am not sure I can handle it or that I am comfortable with it? Listen, darling, I'd be happy to answer all your further questions, but since I believe that the answer to all of your questions revolve around your insecurities, I suggest you set up a counseling appointment with a competent sex-positive therapist. Or, if you think that you'd like to continue to work with me, as you and I have been doing with this in this exchange, check out the Therapy Available tab in the header of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, for all the information you will need to make an enlightened decision about that. Seems to me you are asking for my advice and good counsel without acknowledging that you need an intervention. So let's start there. Owning this is the beginning of the solution. Finally, a couple of weeks later, I heard from her again. She wrote, you and I emailed back and forth a little while ago, not sure if you remember or not. I mean, how could I forget? I want you to know that I have thought a great deal about what you said, and now have a totally different outlook on the whole thing. To start with, I agreed to let my husband touch another woman. Heck, we may even wind up in a soft swap. We are taking things slow, and we are monitoring where things might go. I guess in the beginning I was thinking of this as my husband being attracted to someone else, and that was causing some problems for me. It's not about him being attracted to someone else, it's about him and I going on a sexual adventure together. How cool is that? I love my husband so much and I want to experience everything with him. Letting him touch and maybe go down on another woman doesn't mean that he doesn't love me, nor does it mean that I'm not enough for him. It simply means that we're on a sexual adventure and that we're doing this together as a loving couple. My husband and I are very open in our communication with each other, and that has grown even more since we started this. Now I'm just excited to meet someone and get started and see where all of this goes. Thank you so much for listening to me. Brilliant. Well done. Congratulations on your breakthrough. Do let me know how things work out. Good luck. One final time. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, next, we hear from a woman named Jay, J-A-I. I don't know. I guess that's how it's pronounced. She's 26 and she writes from Chicago. Hi, Dr. Dick. I've been dating a guy for just under a year now, and I'm concerned because he never wants to have sex. When we first started dating, we had plenty of sex, good sex. As time went on, though, we had less and less sex, and we didn't have it at all unless I initiated it. I've brought this up to him, and he has told me that he thinks sex ruins relationships and that he feels emotionally connected to me and cares more for me now, and that he thinks sex will change that. I'm confused and almost mistrusting of this, as I have never met a man who doesn't want to have sex. I'm not willing to live in a sexless life, and I'm not sure that I shouldn't just end it all. You know, you've got a real problem on your hands, Jay. If your boyfriend really believes that sex ruins relationships, then he's basically telling you that he no longer is into you sexually. That wouldn't be a bad thing if you could live in a sexless relationship yourself, but that's not what you're telling me. I'm afraid that your boyfriend isn't being totally honest with you. Either he's getting his nookie on the side and leaving you high and dry, or he's just not all that into sex, and he's being very inconsiderate of your needs. Either way, the likelihood that this is going to reverse itself is very, very slim indeed. However, if salvaging your relationship is a priority, then you guys have some counseling ahead of you. However, if you find that cutting your losses now is the best, maybe even the only option you have left, you should just go for it now. Good luck. Finally, here's Luke. I don't know his age. Oh, yes, I do. He's 21, but I don't know where he lives. He writes, "So my girlfriend and I have been dating for 10 months. Both of us are 21, athletic, and live very healthy lives. There is come a problem that for her sex has become painful. Whether it starts painful or we continue to go and it gets painful, she has consulted a gynecologist about these problems. The doctor suggests a yeast infection, which my girlfriend has taken medicine, a different type of lubricant, which we have started with KY sensitive, and she has even switched birth control that has a high amount of estrogen in it. Yet our sex is still painful. I was wondering if you have any tips or ideas that might help our situation. Is there anything that I can do to help her? Is there something that we are missing? Thanks for your question. I see so much of this very thing in my private practice. I hope you guys don't feel like you're alone in the difficulties that you are experiencing. I have a quick couple questions. You say sex has become painful. Does that mean that it didn't used to be painful, but now it is? And by sex, I assume that you mean fucking. Am I correct in that assumption? There are numerous reasons why intercourse, fucking, can be painful for some women. And without having an opportunity to talk to your girlfriend directly, it would be impossible for me to hazard a guess as to the source of the problem. It is good that the two of you are trying to work out this situation on your own, but I see that you're not being overly successful. I also notice that you've reached out to a medical professional. That's good. But have you reached out to a sex therapist?
I mean, other than me.
As much as I respect doctors, I don't think most of them, even gynecologists, have any background, education, or experience in dealing with sexual dysfunction. I have lots of suggestions. Like I said, I deal with this issue a lot in my private practice. Let me suggest that you mosey on back to my site, drdicksexadvice.com, and do a search using the keywords self-sexological exam. You'll discover a posting that I wrote a while back that might be helpful to you and your girlfriend. You'll notice immediately that this is not the same presenting issue that you raise, but I think the intervention I suggest in my response to that questioner might be a place for you guys to start. Since I don't have any direct information from your girlfriend, I'm going to have to stop with this. That being said, you should know that I offer therapy and counseling to individuals and couples all around the globe. Perhaps you guys might want to consider making an appointment with me to discuss the issues that you face. All the information you need to make an informed decision about working with me is located in the Therapy Available tab in the header of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Let me know if I can be of any further assistance. Good luck! Well, that was fun. And that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in this coming Wednesday for a special Sex Wisdom podcast featuring two very delightful guests. And more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, today's podcast is sponsored by Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews. Listen up, folks. I need your help to continue to provide shows like the one we've just heard. But you may be asking yourself, hey, why should I make a donation? Well, I'll tell you. Infrastructure and administrative costs for a free site like this are astronomical. So if you'd like what you see and hear, if you enjoy all the wonderful features of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice and Dr. Dick's Sex Toy Reviews, then I invite you to make a modest one-time donation online. We suggest a donation between $20 and $50, but any amount will be gladly accepted. This is a one-time donation. There are no automatic credit card renewals or processing fees, and you can be certain that every dime you donate will go to supporting this valuable sex-positive effort. Finally, your donation underscores your social conscience. Your sponsorship helps disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages throughout the entire world. I thank you in advance for your generosity. Until next time, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.